Good morning. As the psalmist said, this is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. As always, it's a privilege to be in this pulpit. I'd like to thank Steve and the congregation for the opportunity to do so. I would be remiss if I did not thank you for being here this morning, and those of you who are listening on various devices, appreciate that very much. The fact that you are here or that you're listening indicates to me and to others your interest in things that are spiritual, and you are to be commended for that. We have captioned this morning as the armor of God, and I appreciate the songs that Albert has led, which deal with that text as well. Our text this morning will be what Adam read for us so well, verses 10 through 17. The church here has determined that it is important for us to have a mind to work, and that indeed we should do. One thing that I do want to mention before I start here was the fact that when Asia is referred to, that's not the continent that China holds a large portion of, but rather it's a province of the Roman Empire. Okay, so they're not talking about all of Asia, they're talking what we know as Asia. What they're talking about is a portion of what we would refer to as Asia Minor, a peninsula, which primarily is held by Turkey on this particular day. So we need to keep that in mind. The town of Ephesus, also known as the Light of Asia, the Market of Asia, the Gateway of Asia, was a great city. It was the greatest city in this province of Asia. It was a free city in that Rome had allowed it to govern itself. Its greatest landmark was the Temple of Diana of the Ephesians. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, a huge temple built to honor this goddess. History says that the people there are amiable, refined, art and music lovers, all of which are good things. Unfortunately, they were guilty of seduction and vicious indulgences. So while they had their good points, they also had those which were not so good. Our lesson this morning hopefully will help us in preparing for the work. In order to be successful in any type of work, you have to have the necessary tools, and you have to know how to use them. If you're working with wood, you need a table saw, a chop saw. What else did I put down here? A router, a sander, a shaper, a planer. All of those things are more or less necessary for you to work in the wood shop. And if you don't have those, you're going to have to try to make use of something else. But just as a wood craftsman has to have the tools and the knowledge to use them, so we as Christians have to have the tools and the knowledge as to how they work and how we should work them. We're going to look at that this morning. The book itself is one of the epistles or letters written to Christians in cities or in provinces where churches were located and where the Christians obviously were located. The author was the Apostle Paul. One of many letters that he wrote. And he wrote these to either commend the members of the church or to help correct problems in those. It was probably written about 62 or 64 AD. So it was fairly 60 years after the death of Christ that these were still being taught and being listened to, one hopes. It was written in Rome, most scholars believe, and probably near the end of what's referred to as Paul's first imprisonment. So he is in Rome. He is being held as a prisoner there. And he's going to be released. Unfortunately, he will be recaptured and eventually martyred. But in this one, he's writing from the end of his first imprisonment in Rome. What was the reason? Are the recipients? Who were the recipients? Obviously, they were the Christians that were in Ephesus and in the surrounding area of Asia. The reason that Paul gives is to provide more fully the unity of all Christians in one spiritual body and how this fulfills the scheme of human redemption. Paul writes this, and he makes a comparison between the armor of the Roman soldier and the armor that we must assume as Christians. Now, he knows what the Roman soldier wears because he's either been chained to him or had him sitting at his doorstep. Apparently, at this day and this imprisonment, he was allowed to have his own private home, his house, someplace rented in Rome, and he was allowed to have people come and visit him. But he still had the Roman guard. Probably when they were in Rome, the guard was a member of the Praetorian Guard, which was an elite combat section in the Roman army. So he sees these guys every day for the last 2 or 3 years and dressed in their military uniform, their armor, if you will. And he makes a comparison in this text between the armor of the Roman soldier and the armor of a Christian. We need to keep that in mind. Paul does an excellent job of this comparison, and we'll talk about each one of these items as we go through. We need to know what it takes to be a Christian and what it takes to carry out God's word. We have to stand against the wiles, the lies, the trickery, the cunningness, and the deceit of the devil. Paul knew what the armor was from the Roman soldier, and he knew what the armor should be for Christians. He starts off with gird the loins. Now, this was either a belt or a girdle that was worn next to the body. It held all the rest of the implements of armor that he had. So you're supposed to have that. Here, it represents the support of truth, spiritual reality. Christians must strap on the belt that God has provided. Keep in mind that God has provided all of these things that Paul will mention here. He's kept them and he's provided them. But we, as Christians, have to make use of them. And if we fail to do so, then we've wasted these weapons, if you will, that God has provided for us. We can't afford to do that. We have an obligation not only to treat our lives and to do the things that are necessary as Christians, but to teach others. And we can't fail in that regard. We must carry that out. The breastplate protected the heart and the thorax of the body. It doesn't mention that it went on to the back, although in some instances it did. It is compared to righteousness. And righteousness is defined as moral uprightness, holiness, just plain goodness. We're to have that. We're to take that piece of armor and make use of it. The shoes, Roman shoes were kind of neat. Any of you that have ever played baseball, I know Mark has, I attempted to, Jeff did, but you wear spikes on your shoes, or you probably wear spikes on your shoes. That helps you dig in, okay, either at the plate or in the field, so you can get to where you want to be. Well, the Roman soldier had something similar. It had hobnails in the bottom of its shoes. And these allowed the Roman soldier to be prepared to fight at any time. It gave him the balance to be able to use his sword and his shield. So that's what we have here. We have to be sure-footed, if you will, when you go forward. We have to be always ready, as the Roman soldiers were when they brought forth their battle. The next item he mentions is the shield. Now, the shields come in different types and things. That basically meant that if the soldier knelt down, he could cover his entire body and stop any arrows or flaming darts from penetrating it. It was made out of wood or metal, perhaps, but it provided a whole bunch of guards for what they were to go up against. For the body, for the Christian, faith is compared to this. Unshakable trust in the Word of God. We must trust God's Word to compare us and to do the things that we need to do. So that's what we have the shield for. The next item he mentions is the helmet, and it was made out of metal or leather and protected the head. From the Christian's point of view, it allows us to hold our head high because we know, as Christians, that our sins have been forgiven. And if we don't know that, we ought to know that. Okay? If you are a Christian, and I think everybody here is, but if you weren't, then you have to have the right to be proud of the fact that you are a Christian and that you have obtained the forgiveness of your sins. We appreciate that. The sword is the next item mentioned. I read an article, a couple of articles, about the sword. The Roman sword was double-edged, and it was a wicked weapon. It was made for thrusting. So basically, they had the shield in front of them, the sword in the other hand, and they thrust it into the enemy as they marched forward. When they did this properly, and the Roman army was good, when they did this properly, they defeated almost everybody that they fought. It wasn't until the Roman Empire fell apart that they were unable to do that. But that's what the sword was. It is the only offensive weapon that is mentioned here. And what is it? It's the Word of God, is the comparison that has been made by Paul. Okay, and we have to have a working knowledge of that word in order to teach others. That's the way the word is spread. You have heard the theme that I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. I'm sure that's the case when I'm up here. But at any rate, we have to be able to teach others. And in order to do that, we must have a thorough working knowledge of the word. And if we fail to do that, we fail in our obligations. Can't afford to do that. We must go forward in doing that. Roman swords were vicious weapons. It could plunge all the way through a man. And we have to have the knowledge that allows us to complete our testimony before others, our teaching. We must know that. We must have a complete understanding of that. And again, if we fail, we fail in our obligation as Christians. He goes on to say that we must stand firm. God has provided each and every one of these items, just as the Roman Empire provided its soldiers with these weapons. We must make use of these weapons. The fact that we know what they are doesn't accomplish much. We have to know what they are. But we have to know how to use each and every one of them. We can't fail in any of those things. We must go forward in that regard. If you failed to do that, we can assist you in correcting that this morning. If you have failed in some other manner, or if you're not a Christian, we can help you correct that problem. However we can assist you that God's word allows, please allow us to do so. Please, as we stand and sing our song, if you need to do that, please come.